Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless.
Good afternoon. Hello, you guys. Let me open the chat so I can see y'all and y'all talk to me. How are y'all feeling? How are y'all feeling this afternoon? It is a blessing and an honor to be before you guys. Yes, thank you so much, Amber, for the worship. The worship was beautiful. Thank you for ushering us in, and you were just completely right on target. One thing I also wanted to mention as we are going over announcements. On Tuesday, we do have coming up, we do have the anointing oil service. So if you guys are looking to bring your anointing oil, Apostle is going to pray over that. Stay tuned to the glue messaging, the messages that you guys will receive to keep updates on the time and even the link that will be given. Before we get started, I am just going to go ahead and pray us in really quick. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have done. God, I thank you for this word that you have given me. I pray, Lord, that you just take over less of me and more of you. God, I just thank you for your presence. Just even in each and every space, Father God, of everyone, God, that is tuning in, of everyone, Father God, that will rewatch the replay. God, I just thank you for your presence. I thank you for your hand, your power, Father God, and even the healing that is going forth, God, the restoration, Father God, even as Amber again ushered us into worship. I thank you for the healing that is going forth and the restoration, and even just, Father God, for your wisdom. Take over my lips. Take over my mind. Take over my heart, Lord. I give it all to you. And we thank you, Father God, for the food and the fruit of your word that is made manifest. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Hello. So I am not Apostle. I am not Tanisha. I am not Essence. I am Keisha. If you have not seen me before, I pretty much serve virtually. I am based in Houston, Texas. I've been a part of this ministry for 5 years now, so since I was 23. So it is the same Holy Spirit, but the Lord has gifted us all different gifts in the way that we release. Usually, I am a lot more comfortable with intercession. So I am like, I can do that. I can pray you through. I can tap in, you know, all the things. So I am honored and grateful for this opportunity to pour before you guys. And even as the Lord has graced me with things to share with you guys, and I'm pretty sure it's going to touch and meet all of you guys. So have a listening ear, be present. I'm sure Apostle is in or watching and tuning in. So hi, Apostle. Hello, hello, hello. I hope you are enjoying your rest. And again, we know that this month Apostle is stepping back to just on her sabbatical to rest and recover so that she can pour more. And so we are grateful for our Apostle and even the time that she's able to rest and recover and even just to sit with the Lord more on the things that he wants to do in this season. Okay, so I think those are all the church announcements. Okay, so so the Lord has given me a word originally last week. I thought the work was going to, you know, continue down the line of consecration, being a solutionist. So if you have not watched the series that Apostle went over 2 weeks ago over Romans 8, I suggest you go back and watch over us being sons. And I think that's an important, vital importance when it comes to every believer to know that we have authority, to know that we have access to pray, that this oil is not just given. This oil is not just given to an apostle, a minister, but you have yourself access. You have yourself access to go before the Father. The veil is already torn. So it really is up to us and in our free will of what we are choosing to do, what we are choosing to believe. Are we going to take God's word and know who we are and stand in our sonship? In Jesus' name. So I thought I was going to continue to go, you know, down in that lane. And the Lord was like, no. It's more to it, because we live in a life that consecration is important to every believer in the way that we show up to pray, to intercede on behalf of the world and God's will, on behalf of even our own lives. But much more, we live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world. And there are sufferings, there's pain, and there's different things that people or we don't fully know. How can God be God? How can God be a good God and allow things to happen? So I'm going to cover the two folds that the Lord gave me in this week. And so the title of this message is going to be The Restorative Plan. The Restorative Plan. So we know that Christ came to restore, even in the latter days in the Bible, it being revealed that, you know, Gentiles, the nations are able to come into the fold. So even in Mark 16, 15 through 17, where he said, go out and, you know, spread the gospel, go out and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all the things he has came to restore. And by the love of God, he had to send his son. He had to send a sacrifice. And so even in the nature of God, he is vast. And there is complexities of things that we don't know because we were not here before the foundations of the world, you know, were set. Everything was already set. There was a standard that was set. The way of God was set. So when it comes to our understanding and even understanding the ways of the world and understanding the way that God operates, understanding the spirit realm, understanding, you know, courts of heaven, you know, there's a lot of information, and we are in 2026. We are in 2026, and a lot of churches are not even operating in the way of the spirit. Their perspective is set on the earthly realm, you know, instead of eternal life and all of the access that we have, you know. So remember what I just said about the veil that is torn. So we have access to go before the Father. We have access to speak, decree, and declare. We know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. There's another version that says that we have divine power to the pulling down, to destroy strongholds. Why do we have this word? Why do we have this access? It's because we have come into the fold of more, that we are able to also fight. And we know that nevertheless, all we have to do is show up, because the battle was already won. The battle was already the Lord's. So what began all of this is because I like to ask questions. Even when I started my walk with the Lord, I like to ask questions, and I wanted to get to know the Lord for myself. I wanted to know and experience the Holy Spirit, you know, and not just take the Bible and its words and just say, okay, I have to believe. But I wanted to experience the Holy Ghost. I wanted to encounter Christ for myself, to know that he is real, that in my knowing, I know that I know that I know that I know. And so I was in the gym, and using the gym, I like to listen to podcasts. I like to anything that's worship, anything that pertains to growing. So as I'm strength gaining, weight gaining, you know, strength training. That's what I'm trying to say. as I'm strength training, I am also trying to spiritually train, you know? And so in that, watching this podcast, there was this podcast on We Need to Talk. I love the podcast. It's so much revelation, so many things that are being brought to the light of exposure that sometimes some of us are not like used to knowing or really aware of. And so I think just the things that God is doing in this season and how he is allowing things to come forth for us to know the things that are happening behind closed doors, the hidden dark things that the enemy is moving and maneuvering through. So in that podcast, it was this lady, she was a part of from birth. She was birthed into Illuminati, and she was in there for 30 years. And I'm not going to go over her entire story, but basically it came to her asking the Lord, why was I in here this long? Why did it take you 30 years to bring me out? And I think that is even a question that sometimes we may even ask ourselves, like, God, why is it that you're, you know, we know that you're a good and gracious God, but why did this happen to me? Why are the people, some people in jail are not even supposed to be in jail? There's injustice that is served. You know, why did certain abusive things happen to people, even when it comes to kids, even when it comes to it's a lot of chaos and the enemy working oppression upon the children of God. And this is something that has not just started. Obviously, we know that these things, there's stories in the Bible that talks about oppression. You know, even when Jesus came to earth and started his ministry, when he started his ministry, he began healing. He began restoring because there was already a lack thereof. He's seen his people suffering. He knew his people were suffering. And so he started off restoring immediately. So nevertheless, we are in a broken world. That was one of the first things that the Lord downloaded to me, that, you know, we are in a broken world. We're in a fallen world. But that does not mean that we are left without the help. That does not mean that we're left without receiving restoration, wholeness, and healing. But there is, I'm going to go over the solutionist part and then also the part of healing that we have to go through when it comes to the things that we suffer. So for the solutionist part, as Apostle, once again, she mentioned to us being solutionists in the earth and how it is important for us to go forth, to consecrate, to fast, to pray. People say more prayer, more power. I say you need prayer, you need fasting, you need consecration, you need the Holy Ghost. You need all of that, more power. It's not just prayer, because there's people that's praying and it's not that people aren't heard, but there's much more that we are in war with. We know that we don't fight against the things of the flesh, but we fight up against the principalities and the kingdom of darkness. We fight up against these things that are trying to keep our people, our bloodline bound. You know, there's altars and things that were set before we were even born. So the enemy is always trying to regenerate oppression. So it is important for us to be solutionists. And I'm hopeful that with the word that was given, the things that were down low, and I know that, again, sometimes it's like new information. And so we're like, okay, whew, this is a lot, especially with the meat of this ministry and how the oil flows. So it is important that we apply it. It's important that we apply it and that we don't give room for negotiation. We don't give room for compromise. So even when it comes to consecration, if you know that you need to fast, if you know that you need to even build yourself up, we all need to build ourselves up. We're continuing to be in this walk with God, and he has continued to give divine revelation and things that are needed. It's not enough to just fast at the beginning of the year, but consecration is our duty as believers, to even closely commune with the Father, to grow in our spirit, to where we are dying to our flesh. We are dying to our flesh, and we're coming up to be aware much more of the access and the power that God has given us. We can't have oil if we don't have consecration. And consecration is not just praying and fasting. Consecration is also setting yourself aside for the purpose and will of God. What does that mean? Turning off social media. Yes, we are reading our word, but also watch your conversations that you're having. People know when you call me and I'm consecrated, I'm not answering the phone. I'm going to text you. I'm praying. Even to my mom. Sorry. Because I'm focused and I need to get all that I need. If it's an emergency, she'll message me. But consecration needs to be set apart from God, non-negotiable. My consecration is non-negotiable. If it's an emergency, text me. But yeah, consecration is non-negotiable. And it's something that we need to take serious when it comes to, again, conversations, cutting off the conversations. So it is important that we are applying ourselves as solutionists, because the call for us, the call for every believer, if you want to be a disciple, you have to deny yourself. That's what God says. You're not worthy to be my disciple if you do not deny your flesh, if you do not pick up your cross. And isn't he worthy? He died for us, and we are living sacrifices for him. So it is our God divine, perfect will of God for us to yield everything to him, to where he is always first. Whatever he is asking, whatever is pleasing in his sight, that we're always seeking that above all else. If we are really trying to come into the fold to believe and do the works of God, that is the proper order. And so, again, when it comes to being solutionist, there's consecration, the application of consecration. If you know that this is even tugging on your heart, choose a date next week. Choose a date within this coming week of the time that you're going to consecrate. And it doesn't have to be a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., whatever the Lord puts on your heart. But your flesh has to hurt a bit. It has to feel stretched. It should not feel comfortable. It has to be a part where you're being spirit-led and you're allowing your flesh to be beneath, that you're not being led by your emotions, that you are being disciplined. So another part of the podcast of what got me was, because we know that God can, he can always intervene. No matter the situation, God is God, right? And so she was in that part of her life for 30 years. And she was just like, God, why didn't get me out? He said, I sent someone. Actually, I sent several people. I sent several people on this assignment to pray, to intercede on your behalf, to help. But they were afraid. They suppressed and grieved the Holy Spirit because they were afraid of the attacks that will come from the Illuminati and, of course, the spirit of darkness and things that are working and operating. And so one day there was a couple that interceded on her behalf, and she got free. So this is an important part of operating in our kingship, operating in our priesthood. And we know that we are called to be priests of the earth. And we can go ahead and put up Revelation 1:6 so that we can have scripture backing this up. Revelation 1:6. So God has entrusted us as vessels. God has entrusted us as vessels, as honorable vessels, to go and to intercede and to pray. He has given us access to be on our post, to pray on behalf of others. And it is important that we are doing so. Let me read this first. Okay, so Revelation 1:6. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and it is on the screen. It says, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So I think even when it comes to this term priest, I think, again, there's a lot of things that we as people may be ignorant of when it comes to kings and priests and really moving in that authority, because we're not used to it. The churches usually have conditioned us to go to church, pray, believe, worship, and that's it, you know. But there's much more access and level when it comes to being a priest, when it comes to our kingship. Now, going back to us being, again, solutionists. So we know that in the Bible, the Lord used a lot of people, several people, when it comes to deliverance. Moses to be one. Esther. Esther was not just sent to be a queen just to be the queen because she was beautiful and she was pure and all the things. The Lord knew the assignment of the enemy to come up against his bloodline, to come up against the Hebrew bloodline. And so furthermore, Esther was also called and being a vessel for further deliverance for the people of that were Jew. So even within that, they had to fast 3 days. So it's my point is God is always using and in the business of using his people to be on their post for deliverance. It's not something that he just moves by his own hand. Can he? Yes. And that's why I go back to saying the vastness and the complexities and the mindset of God we don't have. And I'm okay with that, because I believe that there's so much wisdom and so many things that we do not know, but he does give us what we do need to know. But it is always God's will for us to be free, and he's always looking to restore. And as God is the Father, as he is the judge, again, his perspective is different. So from where he is sitting, he is not biased, but he looks at all things from all angles. That's why we have the courts of heaven. We have the courts of heaven because we have an accuser, and we have our advocate, Jesus, that we're able to go forth and receive mercy and the verdict of not guilty. And I think that's another part of the body of Christ that is not aware of when it comes to the courts of heaven. And again, that's why intercession, consecration, all these things are needed for us to be consistent and aware of the access that we have to go forth and ask for these things so that we can be free, so that our nation can be free, so that the kids that are in bondage and are helpless can be free, in third world countries, all the things. People are looking and complaining from a physical mindset where we are called to be and live eternal. We are spirit beings. We are spirit beings, and we are called to use our weapons. We are called to move in our weapons for the freedom that is our portion through Christ Jesus. And so, as solutionists, we are called to take territory. We are called to take back. So we have the story of Gideon. We have the story of Joshua. And there's so many different stories. You got David. You got Jehoshaphat. I was reading upon Jehoshaphat the other day, where the Lord had already spoken to him and gave him the territory, and he began to worship. How many times, even when they marched around the wall and they worshiped, worship is a weapon of our warfare that we're able to use, and the Lord just gives us victory. So we are called to take back. We are called to go into. And we cannot always expect that things will just be handed to us. So this is where, once again, we have to be on our post. And we can't be, we cannot be afraid. If God be for us, who can stand against us? Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Do we believe in the power and the sovereignty of God, or do we not? Do we believe in the blood of Jesus, or do we not? Do we believe in the authority that every single thing has been placed under his feet? We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So it is important for us to be on our post, and I hope and pray that this is sticking. I'm not just coming before y'all to just give a word. I'm giving the word that the Lord has given me to say. Because a lot of things can be dealt with if we do our duties and we take our stand and we hold ourselves accountable. And it's not, Lord, help me to obey. Just obey. Lord, help me to be disciplined. Just be disciplined. And know where your help comes from, because it's not you operating in your flesh. It's you merely just yielding and allowing the Spirit of God to help you. Showing up in prayer. Because there are gifts. There are things that we have been given. And there are people that are going to the grave never using them, never knowing who and what God has called them to be and to do to the fullness, because they have not tapped into revelation. And even then, it grieves my heart when churches are not being led by the Holy Spirit. They're just taking the word and reading it and coming up with their own perspective. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us with the word of God. There is much more revelation that comes to us when we ask the Holy Spirit or walk with the Holy Spirit in reading the word of God to unlock more of what it is that is found in his word. And even much more with consecration. What I have found is when you're consecrating, the Lord begins to speak in a much way that is narrow to your life. So you want the answers. You want, God, what is my will? What is the purpose? Well, everybody's will and purpose, just to let you know, is to share the gospel. You can start there. Everything else can come as you are sitting with the Lord and you're allowing yourself to be consecrated for the work of the Lord in which he has called you to. But it is important, once again, that we get the help of the Holy Spirit in all things. Because there is a limitation. There is a limitation when we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to move. There may be times where the Holy Spirit wants to move and have divine healing, and he can't move because we have our title and our 3 points based on what we feel that the word is saying. And also, this even goes to show, or even, you know, to mention, people take the word, and because there is no Holy Spirit in them or being led by the Holy Spirit, we have divided truths. And even in the word, it talks about how they were among us. There was a group that was among us, but they went out from us. They went out from us. Why? Because people take the word of God. They feel the truth. You know, they see it. They read it. And it's like, oh, okay, this word means something else. So this is why we have the Hebrew Israelites, we have the Mormons, we have Catholics, we have all these different things because of the lack of the Holy Spirit, the lack of consecration, the lack of sitting and waiting for the Lord to speak and show and reveal. And again, there is also a lacking of our gifts being built, of our gifts being matured. There's so many things that I was even in a sort of warfare, and I say warfare because I see him. I see you. You're upset and you're trying to distract me because you know that if I'm past the mic, I'm gonna tell it. There are things that the enemy does not want us to operate in. He does not want us to know that we are sons, that we are priests, that we are kings, that we have access to be solutionists, to stop the will of the enemy and the things that has been planned for years and decades, because we have access. If we come into the knowledge and the fullness of all that God has created us to be, baby, they are powerless. They are already defeated, but it's a part that we have to stand in. You mean to tell me, even within this ministry, we have seers, we have prophets, we have the interpretation of tongues, and all of us are praying in the spirit, and there's many more other gifts. If the body of Christ is properly being built up, if the body of Christ is properly being built up, how much more powerless will the kingdom of darkness be? If we are built and we are operating in the way that God has formed us, truthfully, there is no access of the enemy to succeed, to keep generations in bondage. So these things are the things that the enemy is trying to keep hidden, to try to keep us in suffering, to try to keep us bound, to try to keep us distracted, to try to keep us ignorant. And if we don't take the truth, even this word that I'm releasing and speaking, if we don't stand up and if we don't take our pulse, it's going to continue to be a cycle. Because God has given us access. He has given us help. The works are finished. They are completed. They are completed. And it is for us to take, once again, our rightful stand and do what we ought to do as kings and priests, as true sons of God. So my question is to you is, are you operating in the fullness of what God has called you to do, to be, to move in? Have you been silenced because of suffering? Because the enemy is not going to stop. He has came to kill, steal, and destroy. And he knows the law. He knows the word of God. Witches and warlocks, and the ones that are operating in the demonic, the ones that are fighting up against us, they know the word of God, and they are using it for their use illegally, taking sacrifices and blood, child sacrifices, all types of things. And they are twisting scripture in a way to pervert, to cause harm on God's people. We have the perfect sacrifice that we don't have to ever do anything else but to plead the blood of Jesus and to be consecrated and use the weapons and use the things and the access that God has given us. So be on your post. And also, if God has created us in his image, his perfect will, do we trust that God knows what's best? That if this is to which he has called us to, do we trust that God's will is the best, that he truthfully wants what's best for us? That in this in which we have our movement in our being to be, do we trust God's will and plan for our lives that we are counted and worthy? Is he worthy? God has been gracious. God has been good. And we should not limit or suppress ourselves from yielding to the things that are needed in the earth because we're too caught up in wanting to live our own personal lives. There's nothing that we can do without Christ Jesus. There is no good that we can do without God. And so I know that there are particular grievings for different people that we are called to. So, you know, people may grieve children in a different way. People may grieve for people that are in prison. People may grieve for the elderly. So these different things God will place upon our hearts for a reason, for a purpose, for a plan, for us to intercede, for us to be on our post. And the reason that he has done that, because he has already given us the victory in it. And so it is so important. It is so important that we yield to the things that God is placing on our hearts to be active in. I hope this part encourage you as being solutionists, as being vessels to be used. And in order to be vessels to be used, we need to be consecrated. We need to be praying. We need to be fasting. We need to be on our post. And we need to have the mind of Christ. To know that we are called to this and God has given us victory to take our stand. We grieve so much and we watch the news. We see all these things that are happening. And sometimes we go, oh, that's so sad. That's so terrible. Some of this stuff should not be normalized. It should activate in us to immediately we and start sending fire to the enemy. And start praying for mercy on behalf of nations, even mercy on behalf of our president. Take your stand. The other part of this was, again, in her story, the part where she suffered and there was healing that was needed. And of course, in that organization, Illuminati, they were perverting the image of Christ. They were making it seem as if God loved you, he would bring you out. He wouldn't have allowed you to go through this. You know, even the things that sometimes in our minds, of course, the enemy can sow seeds in our hearts and our minds and our thoughts to get us to think that God isn't present or God isn't real. And so that's why you have, again, people that deny Christ is even real because they may have prayed about something or they may have just it's the understandings to the sufferings of the world. We're just like, God, why? It just why? Why when you're God? We go through this. And so in this portion, there's healing that's needed. And even just, again, the reminder that we are in a broken world. We are in a fallen world. We are in a broken world. We are in a fallen world. But there is restoration that is here to help, to heal, to bring restitution, to bring joy. If you stand firm and tap into it and allow the Lord to heal. And so even in my own personal life, which I just feel the Lord, I went through a wilderness season financially. And towards, I guess, the end of that, he had me open up or start an organization. And it was funny in the way that he did it because I'm like, I'm still in this. And you calling me to preach and teach, sir? What? You calling me to intercede, sir? You know, you would think that for the testimony to be fruitful or to be powerful, he will wait till afterwards to where you feel the, you know, the revamping, you feel the joy, and you are able to really testify that you got through it. I knew that I was going to get through it because of my faith, and I know the character of God, and that's not going to change. Now, in this present day, I've went through, I told him this is the worst season you could have, like, I don't think anything else could get worse. This takes the cake. Nothing else in my life could ever be this worse. And I still stand by that. And so to even today, in this present day, to be before you and still grieving, still, you know, having moments where I'm still praying for wholeness, I'm still praying for healing, you know, and I know God's character that he's going to do it. And then to be before y'all today and I'm teaching, I'm like, Lord, you know, but God is intentional. God is intentional in the glory that comes from seasons that whatever the enemy meant for evil, God would turn it around for good. So even in the story of Joseph, even when, you know, he boasts about the coat and he was put into the pit. Then from there, he was sold into slavery. So even the things that were the jealousy and the things that were placed in his brother's heart, though the enemy, and he was imprisoned for years, you know, injustice for no reason. You know, it's not that he did anything harmful, but the Lord seen him through. The Lord gave him the vision. The Lord gave Joseph that dream, you know. So even then, with him being in prison, he also was able to come up and be used in the house of Pharaoh. He was also able to be used for the famine, you know. So even though suffering is allowed, even though things are still happening and the enemy is still moving to try to keep the children of God bound, to keep them distressed, to keep them away from God, to keep them stuck, stagnant, all the things, to keep them ignorant, the Lord is always working, and he has already worked. I was watching this movie. It's so funny because I just feel like God was just like guiding me through, like just guiding me through. I'm just chilling. He just guided me through. I had watched this movie. I recommend to watch it because it really gives a visual perspective of God. Obviously not completely in his fullness, but it was a powerful movie that the Holy Spirit led me to. So he led me to that movie for a reason. There's something profound, you know, altogether within that. And learning, we can't really fully learn the mindset of God, but having a image, a perspective of, you know, how God deals with suffering and pain and the restorative power and plan that he has. And so anyways, it's called The Shack. It's on Netflix. In the movie, I'm not going to break down everything, but in the movie, well, I don't want to tell y'all what happens just in case y'all may go want to watch it, but covering the sufferings that we go through and how we, again, we reason like, why this, why that? And, God was showing up obviously as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but he also, I was about to turn it off. I said, hold on, perversion. But, he showed up as a mother. He showed up as a mother, but you know, we know that God is the I am, you know? And so he shows up in the ways that are needed. So in the motherly way, he showed up in a nurturing, you know, way, soft. And just like the whole theme, like the theme of the movie where the Holy Spirit, Jesus and the Father was, everything was just peaceful. They were just chilling. Obviously, because God knows everything. He's outside of everything. You know, he sees everything. Yes, yes, yes. I was like, okay. So he is at peace because he is sovereign. He's above all. And there are different things that we are learning in this experience when it comes to pain and sufferings, you know? And so in that, obviously there can be wounds in trust. So for me, that was one of my wounds. I'm like, God, you're my father. You're Abba, my father. And I'm daddy's little girl. So with what was allowed, while I honored you and asked for your help, asked for your intervention, and you had so many moments, so many different times, dreams and things to redirect me. Like, I know and you know how to get my attention. And so in that part, it damaged, in a sense, my full trust in him. And I knew that I was loved, but there was still some holes in that, you know? And so anyways, God brought this to me from my own testimony, you know, to you guys, that even though I am still processing and I am getting through this, the Lord has given perspective of his restoration plan, you know, that even though we go through things and things are allowed because we are in this broken world, he's also coming to heal. He is also coming to heal and restore. And it's so funny because previously, before, I seen healing waters come over me. And in the movie, the guy, he went under like the waterfall, and it was like healing waters. And I'm just like, the way that God speaks to us when we're consecrating, we're on our own journeys and we're focused on him, he really tends to the wounds and the things that we need, even the things that we don't even know what to even put into words. He's able to meet that very need. It is important. Obviously, people have free will when it comes to the things that they do. And that's the thing. God is judged. Like I said before, he is biased in all things. So even the person that causes harm, even the person that steals, the person that lies, the person that murders, the person that molests, the person that rapes, the person that abuses, you know, in all things, nobody gets off without consequence. Nobody gets off without consequence. But to see things from God's perspective is that he is a father and we are his children. We are his children. And forgiveness is so important. Forgiveness is so important. I know people always say, you know, forgiveness is for you. You know, it is. And, you know, it is, because we don't want to harbor anything from our heart because we're holding someone, you know, accountable for what they've done to us. We have to, again, recognize that we are in a broken world. We're in a fallen world. People are broken. People are broken and need healing and restoration. So it is important that we pray and that we forgive. And also, we know that if we don't forgive, we are not forgiven. That is even biblical. And so obviously we know that Satan can't make anybody do it, but he has to get permission. And so we know that his mission is to divide and to deceive. And so one of the things that is also important when it comes to our healing journey is our minds. And so within this generation, he is trying to take over and be successful when it comes to the ways of thinking. So this is, again, going back to asking the Lord, well, why did you save me? You had the opportunity to save me. You had, you know, you're God. There is no reason for that. And again, I think that just goes back to the complexities and the vastness of God, that sin is in this world. Sin is in this world, but we have healing and we have restoration. That is our access. That is our portion. And even again, as solutionists, we have the ability to pray and to ask for angelic support, ask for help and the mercy of God. Again, because there are also altars and deliverance and all types of things that need to happen to break the chains and the things that the enemy continues to accuse us. And so a lot of things are even happening in our bloodline and oppression. The enemy is, when I say he is capitalizing on ignorance and moving in chronic oppression up against people because of altars, because of sins, because of open doors, because they're looking, they're monitoring, and they're also looking for access to hold up against us when it comes to God being the judge. I'm hoping this is making sense. Again, even when it comes to the courts of heaven, that the law and the way of God was already written, and he does not change, but he does come in to, again, bring a restorative plan. Can we pull up Romans 5:20? Or I can turn to it too. I don't know if I put it in there or not. Okay, I can go ahead and read. I'm going to read from actually Romans 5:18. And I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. So it says, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Again, this is the restorative pattern of Christ coming into the earth. Verse 19, for as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So through Adam, again, there's a law. There's a law, and we have to be educated when it comes to these things, because these things do not change just because we go through suffering and pain. But we have to understand the ways of the Lord. So it says, so by the one man's obedience, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. Verse 20, now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we have the keys, even as to what Amber was speaking or worshiping and speaking to, when it came to the keys that we have. We have keys. We have keys. We have access to the things of God, and the way that through Jesus, we have received grace. We have received eternal life. We have received righteousness. We are the righteousness of God. So again, this comes in with the restorative pattern. If we allow the Lord to heal, if we allow the Lord to help and restore, he will, and he is willing to do so. Can we go to, I believe I did put it in there, Isaiah 30. Okay, thank you. I think I wanted to read more of Isaiah 32 as well, because it was so good. I said, come on, Revelation. Okay. I am going to, it's not there, but you can keep that scripture on the screen. I'm going to start reading at 19. So Isaiah 30, verse 19. And again, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. So it says, for a people shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. This is one of the parts of the movie that like got me. I was like, whoo. So there was a vial that the Holy Spirit had. And in this way, it was a female. But she was collecting tears. She was collecting tears. And then towards the end of the movie, she began to pour it out so that there'll be growth within the ground. And so basically, our tears are counted as healing. It helps us as we cry for restoration, that nothing is in vain. The Lord hears, he sees all, and he's looking to restore. Know that your tears are seen and are received and are powerful for the way that God wants to restore. So it says, verse 20, it says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. So again, these are the sufferings and the things that we may endure. Yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher. In Jesus' name. So once again, the Lord is not behind wanting to harm us or putting things, the works of the enemy, the works of evil comes from the devil. It does not come from God. So it is important that we know that, again, the Lord is looking to always heal the things that happens in this world. And it's important to also take captive the thoughts of the enemy that may try to lead us, lead us into deception, lead us into the way to feel as if God has forgotten about us. The Lord is all, I mean, the devil is always looking for us to complain. He's looking for our confession. He's looking after coming for our allegiance. He's coming for our belief and coming for our hope, And so even to the fact that I was talking about the distractions and the sufferings that we're sometimes even so focused on our own suffering that we can't even pray for another. I remember there was a time in the season before where majority of my prayers was for other people. And as I prayed, and I remained grateful for all the things that I had, I remember the Lord doing more for me. Even if I didn't sit here and pray for hours over myself, Lord this, Lord that, Lord help me, Lord. Because first of all, the Lord already knows what you need. The Lord is always watching. He's always aware. He's God of all.
Excuse us for a minute.
Can y'all hear me? I'm not sure what's going on with the screen. I'm just going to continue to go. Okay. Where was I? So yes, the Lord is always where was I? Okay, so we go through, work my way back up. Oh my goodness, I lost my train of thought. Roko saka na roko seke. Help me, Holy Spirit. Raka sheka na na roko ko saka na raka seke. Reke saka na na roko sheke na roko saka. Raka seka na roko seke na raka seke. Okay, good. Y'all can hear me. Yes, thank y'all. So he already knows what we need. And so when it comes to that, what I've learned is even within scripture where it talks about if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else will be added. He did not lie about that scripture. And so it's important. I know that we have so many things that we want to request and we like, God. And sometimes those things are coming out of worry because we're hoping that the Lord is hearing us. We're hoping that the Lord is working and he is working. I'm here to tell you right now, whatever it is that you're going through, the Lord is already working. He already knows what he's doing. And his sovereignty is still sovereign. Above all, it doesn't matter what the enemy do. It doesn't matter even with the timeline, because I'm pretty sure the enemy didn't want me to be here before y'all. I was not supposed to be here before y'all. I think that's just pretty much the honest truth with what was sent or what happened. The Lord was after my mindset and my love for Christ, my love and honor and reverence towards the Lord. But understand that the Lord knows. And if you just, like Apostle say, come close. If you just seek first his will, if you just do his will, if you seek and pray for the concerns of other people, and you truthfully allow yourself to be used for the work of the Lord, He will take care of all things, things that you didn't even know to even ask for. He just go ahead of you. He spring forth ahead of you, sprint ahead of you. Oh, she's about my will. She's about my word. She's doing this. She's doing that. Or he's doing this. He's doing that. I got this. I just need your help to be available for what's needed in the earth. And can you also be present for me? Because it's not just for us to be servants, but also to be children with the Lord, to be children of God, to commune with him, to grow in intimacy with him. That's another reason for a consecration. So while the enemy wants us to complain and be in our head and be in our, you know, whatever, the Lord wants us to worship. The Lord wants us to stand firm and trust in his word and trust in all the things that he has called us to be, knowing that everything will happen at its appointed time. Last verse I have is Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, 1 through 2, and I'll go ahead and also read from here. Okay, it's the other verse first. Okay, I'll go ahead and read from my, okay, thank you. So it says Isaiah 43, 1 through 2, and he actually like literally just gave this to me like last night. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Next point, it says, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. In Jesus' name. So I'll go ahead and read this part. It says, verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So one point obviously to recognize is when he says, when you pass. So it's not an if. It's when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. So even though we go through the trials of life and the sufferings of life and the different things that we're not fully aware of, know that he is with us. Then he mentions the rivers. They shall not overwhelm you. When we walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. So a lot of us are living testimonies. We do not look like what we've been through. And that is just evidence to God's restorative plan, his restorative power, and the more that he wants to do in and through us, that even though the weapons may be formed, they will not prosper. So I thank you, Lord, we are receiving the healing waters even much more. Also, I wanted to say that I have prayed for y'all before this live throughout this week, and the team also, we also have prayed for y'all. This week has been covering healing. We prayed over healing overall. So there has been prayers going before this sermon. So receive your healing. Receive restoration, and even just remember God's restorative plan for humanity. That is the reason why he even sent Jesus, that we have eternal life, that where we were doomed to death, you know. He sent Jesus for us to even receive life here on earth, restoration here on earth, hope, joy, keys, access, inheritance. So receive it. And also know one important part that I had to even meditate on was that the Lord loves me. The Lord loves me through and through. It doesn't matter what may have happened to you. It doesn't matter what may have happened in your childhood. It doesn't matter What anybody may have done to you, the Lord seen it all. And nevertheless, there are consequences, even to our own personal things that we do. But nevertheless, the Lord is always looking to restore. So, Father God, I thank you for this word that you have given me. I thank you for the strength that you have given me to come forth and even just the grace. I thank you, Father God, for the grace, the help of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father God, for your word continuing to go forth into people's hearts, even as they take this word, Father God, before you, even, Father God, as they sit before you, and even as they consecrate, Father God, for more of what it is that you're calling them to do and even pray for in their own time. God, I thank you for healing all the brokenness, for healing, Father God, the things that we may have not, Father God, caused or brought upon ourselves, but some things, Father God, may have happened from somebody else, another vessel, Father God, or things that may have happened, Father God, through our bloodline. I thank you, Jesus, that you are our advocate. We thank you for the mercy that we have received, the grace, and we say that it is an honor to serve you, to be with you. Father God, I pray that your people will not despise the calling or even the pivots that are needed. God, I thank you that you are even helping us in the ways of our thinking and the ways that we need to pivot and the ways that we need to take back our thoughts. But Father God, you have given us access to be able to renew our minds. So Father God, I thank you for the renewal, Father God, even of our minds right now, that where the enemy, Father God, wants to deceive or bring further harm. God, I thank you that it is powerless, that it is insufficient, that it misses its target and its aim. And Father God, I just thank you for even covering this generation and even what you are doing in this generation, the way that you are building this generation to move, Father God, in the things that you have called us to move in our giftings and our sonship. Help us, Father God, to use the weapons that we have. We thank you, Father God. We love you and we honor you. We once again, Father God, just thank you for the restoration, the healing waters. God, we thank you for your healing waters, Father God, covering each and every person on this line, each and every person, Father God, that will watch this broadcast, Father God, and even in our regions and our spaces, Father God, that you are covering, Father God, and healing, and even just allowing your ministering angels to go forth and allow, Father God, for people to see the hope that we have that is found in you, that that it's not us just, Father God, comfortable with just living righteous, but also, Father God, that we tap into the deeper and the way that you're calling us, Father God, to walk in dominion and subdue the earth, to take back the territories that you have called, Father God, and predestined for us, Father God, to operate and move in. God, I thank you for boldness, for courage, and even, Father God, just even for the remembrance to recognize and even to know that if you be for us, who can be up against us, Father God? The enemy is on a leash. So, Father God, I thank you for your divine timing, and for the release of your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I hope you guys were blessed with this word, because I gave it as it was given. And, yeah, again, I just want to quickly remind everybody for this coming Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, we will have the anointing oil service. So make sure that you are watching your messages, the Glue Messaging app, and you can text join. Can we put the join number? Or you can actually tap the screen for the QR code, scan the screen for the QR code. Okay, here's the number, 833-807-4707. So you're going to text join. If you are interested to become a Flawed and Free member, but also to stay up to date when it comes to the movement of this ministry, because we are mobile. So sometimes we are virtual and sometimes we are in person, and we are moving into different areas. And so to stay connected and to stay up to date with events and all the things of Flawed and Free, make sure that you text join to 833-807-4707. Baptism Sunday, July 19. Woo! So if you are ready to go public with your faith, if you even want to rededicate your life back to Christ, this is the place to be. So you can go ahead and register. There is a link that is posted in the chat. You can go ahead and fill that out and register today. Amen. Okay, Fit for the Kingdom. Fit for the Kingdom, the community workout. I believe this is the second one. I'm not sure. This is in July 25th, Arlington, Texas. So if you are in the surrounding areas, or if you want to come down and join in, save the date, and make sure that you come and join. I know that it is a blast. I haven't personally went yet or drove down, but it is an absolute blast to work and steward over our temples together. We know that we are called to steward over our spiritual fitness, our spiritual gains, but also it's important to work out and steward over our temples as well, our bodies as well. Exodus Experience, this is our deliverance. So if you are seeking deliverance, you can go ahead and fill out an application. I think many people also don't really understand what deliverance is. So of course, take it to the Holy Spirit, but deliverance is for you to be free from any demonic strongholds. There's things in our bloodlines or any personal sin or rededications and things that we have rededicated ourselves to Christ. And so there are doors that need to be open. I mean, that needs to be shut. Not open, shut. So going through deliverance, this deliverance process will help you to get free. We have had so many different testimonies. I went through deliverance, well, several times. And so it is something very, very highly needed, I think, in the body of Christ altogether for every believer. So if you are interested in deliverance or even learning more about it, go ahead and fill out the application. Bible study. Bible studies is lit every Wednesday at 7 p.m. They are both in person and virtual at 7 p.m. So again, you can text that number 833-807-4707. I highly recommend you guys to tune into Bible study. Once again, it is very meaty. It's so amazing altogether. And you have to come to see it for yourself, to experience for yourself. So that's that. Out of the Womb Conference is June 26th through 27th. It is going to be in Bryan, Texas. Registration is now available. So Apostle is also going to be present and ministering. So if you are looking to support or even just to come and experience for yourself and receive, this is the conference that you need to be in. What are you birthing? So go ahead and register now. Again, that is June 26th through 27th in Bryan, Texas. Okay, now for giving. You can go ahead and either scan the QR code or text give to 877-409-9819. And you can also give via Zelle or through the website. Our Zelle is info@theflawedandfree.com. And the website is theflawedandfree.com/give. So give as the Lord leads and guides you. And I pray that you guys have an amazing day. Thank you guys also for tuning in for Sunday service. God bless you guys. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can Cash App us at $flawedfree. On Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.